James chapter 1, verse 26, and then we're going to go to Hebrews, and then we'll go to Proverbs. When you have it, would you say amen? James 1 and 26, can we read this together? Let's read it. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man religion is in vain. Let's read that again together. Let's read that. Everyone, tell your neighbor, let's read it together. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. And we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 12, reading from the 14th and the 15th verse. It says, follow peace with all men, and somebody say holiness.
Holiness.
Let's say that together. Holiness.
Holiness.
Without which no man shall see the Lord. I like this part. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. Somebody say that's me.
That's me.
And thereby many be defiled. The New Living Translation says, work at living in peace with everyone and working at living a holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. And then last verse tonight, Proverbs 18, verse 20 says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. Somebody say, my mouth.
My mouth.
And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Turn to your neighbor and ask him, what did you say? What did you say? God bless you. You can be seated in Jesus' name. I want to talk tonight on this thought. What did you say? Scripture says death and life are in the power of the tongue. We know that some folks have saved their life by what they said, and others have lost their life by what they said. And a couple of weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, I received a phone call from somebody that used to work for me. And he now has the position that I had before I came to Santa Maria. And the individual that he's working with is a Christian, Holy Ghost-filled believer, not baptized in Jesus' name, but he does have the Holy Ghost. And I would say that he is very religious, very sincere about his walk with God. In fact, he's the men's pastor of a large church in a large city in the Central Valley. And I have had the pleasure of ministering to that men's group before in a private setting. But my friend calls me and says, I thought all Christians were nice. But I'm learning some things. I said, well, we're not doormats. The Bible says to be angry and sin not. And I said, but, we're not perfect. And sometimes we get mad and we lose our cool, especially when you're managing lots of people and you're dealing with people. And I began to proceed to have a conversation. And I asked him, what did you say when he was telling me what took place? And so for the last 2 weeks or so, this has been kind of brewing in my spirit, kind of a crock pot, and it got me to think and begin to realize as the Lord was begin to, I like those messages. This is me. Those messages that kind of are in the crock pot.
Yeah.
They kind of stir a little bit, and, messages that I add to, and the Lord's just kind of working on, and then I just kind of, tells me or allows me to be able to minister. So this is one of those ones that's just been kind of stirring in my spirit. It got me to realize and understand and begin to take into consideration some of the things that we as apostolic Pentecostals struggle with sometimes the most in seasons of our life is our tongue and our mouth. You might not trim your hair. You might not dress unholy or ungodly, but you'll murder somebody with the things that you said. Right? You would never get a knife and go out and cut somebody's throat. But you'll give them a good tongue lashing and not repent about it, knowing what you did was wrong, right? Let me throw the scripture at you. James 4 and 17, him that knoweth to do good and do not good, to him it is sin. And so I want us tonight to just to take into consideration that you know, sometimes we've heard people make statements like, "What did they say? What did you say?" I don't know if you've ever made that statement to yourself or to somebody. You thought you heard something, but you really weren't sure, and so you're like, "What did you say?"
Yeah, yeah.
Because if I think what you said, I think you said,
"Yeah."
Wow, really? Have you ever heard somebody say, "You mark my words," or "I hope you have to eat my words someday," or "your words"? Comments like, "I don't care what they say, I will say what I want to say." How about that old cliche says, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt you." Now, I remember my father telling me this when I was in grade school. And I believed everything my dad told me until a couple weeks after he told me that. I was crying and boo-hooing, trying to figure out how this man of God could lie to me or what I did wrong, because words hurt.
Yes, they do.
Come on.
Yes, they do.
I know we might want to sit there and pretend that, "Oh, the words don't hurt," but Brother Carlos, come up here. Let me use Brother Carlos. He's tough, and I haven't used Brother Carlos in a while. He's handsome. This is a good man right here. I appreciate Brother Carlos. Okay, but this is just an example. Okay, I usually pick on Brother Durazic and Brother Bonham, but I'm wearing them out, so we're gonna wear Brother Carlos out tonight. Okay, but I want you to sit right there between Brother Andre and Brother Ronnie. Hope you keep your eyes on the message tonight too. But if I told Brother Carlos every time I saw him, "You're ugly," right? And I worked with him. Every time I saw him, said, "You're ugly." That at some point in time, either he's going to knock me out, or he's going to start looking in the mirror and start saying, "Am I ugly?" Like, let's think about that. Let's think about that. Words have a tremendous impact on us, whether we want to admit it or not. And I could do the adverse. I could say, "Brother Carlos, you're handsome," right? "You're a handsome man." Before you know it, you know, be like the Kool-Aid guy, right? And but words have a, Sister Jennifer saying he's handsome, right? Words have an effect or an impact on us. And part of holiness is the words that we speak. Now, the Bible teaches, as followers of Jesus, to have a life or live a life of holiness. Notice that I said live a life of holiness, not a day or a season or just on Sundays, but a life of holiness, internal holiness and external holiness. Now, holiness in respect to God means absolute purity and perfection and sinless, but in respect to God's people, somebody say, "That's me."
That's me.
Holiness is conformity to the character and the will of God. As He would think, we think, and as He would love, we love, and what He would hate, and we ought to act and behave in a manner that Jesus would act. The Bible teaches a twofold definition of holiness. One is separation from the world and its values, and the other is from sin. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." And the other part, the twofold part, the second part, is dedication to God and His will. Romans 12:1 tells us that let's, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Holiness means to be like Jesus instead of the gratifying sinful desires. We all need to put on Christ. We need to allow Christ to be formed in us. In fact, the scripture tells us in Romans 13:1 or 13:14 says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no or make not provision for the flesh to fulfill their lust thereof. And I've kind of built this premise and foundation tonight because I mentioned it. I'm concerned that many times we will get the external holiness right, but it's the things that we say and it's the manner of communication that we would talk inside the church, outside the church, that would deem us to be unholy in our conversation. Now, the scripture talked about in our scripture text about the bridle or the bridle. It's the bridle, but it's the headgear on a horse to control it. When you break it down in the layman's term with regards to the tongue, it's to control or to curb our tongue. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Holiness begins in the heart. Holiness begins internally with the attitudes and thoughts, and it extends to the way we live, our behaviors, our actions, our appearance, and our speech. Notice what the writer of Ephesians says. Paul says in Ephesians 4 and 22, he says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness, somebody say, in true holiness. Put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one from another. Stand up, Brother Carlos. This is the new man, right? As an example. Now, if you take your tie off, you can play the drums without your tie for tonight, okay? So, this is the new man. We're going to just use, for example, the new man as a man with a tie for sake of conversation. We when we've been baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, we're a new creation. There's a formation. There's a transformation. There's a process towards to be more Christ-like. We ought not, you can take off your tie, please, if you don't mind. We should not, on Sundays or on Mondays after church, go result to the old man. Yeah. And then, for example, on Wednesday, let's pretend you're putting your tie back on. Say, well, I gotta go to church and I gotta put my tie, I gotta be the new man. I better pray for my food today because pastor's gonna ask how many of you prayed today. I don't wanna lie and I don't want everyone looking at me saying I didn't pray today. So I better at least pray for my food so I could say that I prayed. But who we are is who we ought to be 24/7. I know there's going to be days you slip and fall, you skid your knee, you mess up, you feel like you got road rage, and you just shake your head and say, bless them, Lord, instead of saying some of the things you used to say. But we got to make sure that we check what we say and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, oh God.
Yeah, that's good.
Thank you.
Amen.
You can sit back there now. Thank you. Or if you want to sit wherever. Thank you. The old man's conversation may have been vindictive. Before you came into the church, you may have been vindictive. You may have had a knack for lying or cheating and cussing and being evil and provocative and deceitful. Somebody say disrespectful. But we are not who we used to be. That's not who we are anymore. If your old way of communicating and the speech of your communication rises up to be something from the old nature, you got to suppress that. You got to get that under the blood. You got to maybe go on some fasting. You got to put some boundaries in place. Let your disrespectfulness has no business in our conversation.
Amen.
In the church and out of the church.
Yeah.
Amen. Right. That's right.
Lying should not be something that we participate in.
That's right.
Sometimes we can lie by omission.
Yeah.
That's lying too. Psalms 31 and 18 says, let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Slandering people has no business coming out of a Holy Ghost filled believer's mouth.
Right. That's right.
And I know that we see and hear a lot of that in the media, but we are not of this world.
Right.
That's right.
Psalms 101 and 5 says, whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. It's pretty direct. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart, will not I suffer? These are the conversations of the old man. We are not who we used to be.
Amen.
Aren't you glad you're not who you used to be?
Yes, sir.
I've said it before. Sometimes, you know, I would tell somebody, you better be thankful I have the Holy Ghost. Because if you didn't, room, 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 you know. But we got to make sure that our words, first point tonight, our words, they're forming us.
Yeah.
What you say about yourself is important.
Yeah.
Everybody here, God has a purpose for you.
Yeah.
The words you use about someone else and what you say about yourself matter.
Yeah.
What you say about someone else says a lot about you. It's not the will of God that you call yourself or somebody else a nobody or a loser or a has-been or a reject, especially if they're in the house of God, especially if they're Holy Ghost filled, baptized in Jesus' name. That's your brother.
Yeah.
That's your sister.
Yeah.
And get this, He died on the cross for everybody.
Yeah. Come on now.
Yes,
sir.
Let's just be real where the rubber meets the road. We are all God's people. We are all God's children. There's no favorites. I know He loves me and loves you like we're the one and only. And there's enough love and enough mercy and enough grace. But there's enough judgment for everybody. We got to be careful what we say and what we text and what we email. The scripture says, bless them which persecute you. I like this part. Bless and curse not. Show me book, chapter, and verse where Jesus calls somebody a loser. Now, the Lord said that the children of Israel were stiff-necked or hard-headed or stubborn. In Exodus 32:9, the Lord said unto Moses, I've seen this people, and behold, it's a stiff-necked people. Our words are powerful. The speech that we communicate with says a lot about us and your relationship with the Lord.
Yep.
If you tell somebody something negative or positive long enough, like I did with Brother Carlos, sooner or later they're going to believe it.
Yep.
Sooner or later, it's going to have an effect on them. 1 Peter 3:10 tells us, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Our words, the way we communicate, have the ability and the power to form and bring life or death to a person or a situation. It's not the plan of God for us to dress modest and have a form of holiness, a lifestyle that worships the Lord and read a holy Bible and say that we're a holy people, yet be destructive and vile and evil and hateful in our words, in our conversations, in what we text and what we email, what we joke about, even in giving our feedback or opinions. Just think about that. We spend more time outside the church than we do in the church.
Yeah.
So we have a greater opportunity to be a witness and to let our light shine out of the church than we do in the church. So what I'm talking about tonight, I have no beef with anybody in the church. I'm talking and teaching about something for us to be greater, to be steadfast in discipleship. Sometimes folks won't come to our church because they see the way we treat one another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Think about that. I won't shop or go to certain places because based off a principle of how they treat other people or what they spend their money on. Think about that. The Bible says in Matthew 15:10, and he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. So powerful. Jesus is saying, hear and understand. Now that which goeth in the mouth, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. All of the words we say, the communication methods that we use today, email, text message, speech, are forming us or forming someone else. And the adversary will use those as a stumbling block. Well, I'm not inviting them because of what they said. Or I used to have, I'm not that great of a preacher. I think I can hold my own. But you'll hear some good preaching on the 21st. I assure you that. But I have folks tell me, well, pastor's not preaching. I'm not going to church. Like, really? I think we got a pretty legit ministry team here.
Amen.
Right? But that's like that in lots of churches, right? Pastor's not there, so we're not going to church. I'm not that great of a preacher. But could I tell you what? What are we saying when we say things like that? What do people that we're telling about our church, or we're trying to disciple, what does that tell them? Tell your neighbor, what did you say? What did you say? Now notice this. Why does it seem to be so hard to say please and thank you, or compliment, or God bless you, or praise the Lord, or give a word of encouragement to somebody?
Yeah.
When did that get so hard to do? When did we all as a society become experts at feedback and being critical? When did we become an expert of opinions?
Right. Yeah.
Why? Because our words are forming us. Our words are forming something. And the devil will use that as a tactic or a stumbling block between people in the church, or between us and somebody else in the work world.
Yeah.
Matthew 12 and 36 says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment."
Wow.
Now, whatever we say, we can't take that back. Once it's said, once it's emailed, especially nowadays, if it's electronically, you'll never take that back. Well, unless you're, we'll just stay on the straight and narrow tonight. How about when somebody may have told you something about somebody, and you don't even know that person, but you formed an opinion about them already. And then you meet them and you're like, your words are forming you. Luke 6 and 45 says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh." The tongue is so powerful. So small, but so powerful. James 3 and 5 says, "And even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell." This is something that I would beg to differ that 80% of apostolic Pentecostals struggle with from time to time. Because we can be here on Sunday night and shout it out, and on Monday be in the parking lot at Walmart and somebody take our spot, and you're just for a moment maybe honking the horn and, "You idiot, watch where you're going. Are you blind or what?" Each of us have said things verbally or electronically that we're not proud of. Try to help us tonight remember that we have a tremendous responsibility with holiness, with our communication. Tremendous amount of responsibility with what we say. Our words and communication have the ability to direct. Notice this. James 3 and 3, "Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, and they go." The tongue has the power to direct. Notice this. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So we need to beware of the idle word, the questionable story, the half-truths, and the deliberate lies. All of these have the opportunity to direct the course of life and lead to destruction. But notice, Proverbs 15 and 4 says, "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life." What if this week, What if this week we talked and communicated in a positive manner? Just think about that. A couple of days ago, Sister Panero and I were sitting, talking, trying to plan. We'd like to go away for a couple of days, and we were trying to figure out, where are we going to go? Because we live where everybody's coming for the summer. We gripe and we complain about sometimes where we live. All of us have, right? We don't have this, we don't have that, et cetera, et cetera. But But look, within an hour's drive, people from all over the world come to vacation where we live. Think about that. And so we were having that. Well, where do we go? Like, because before we'd come to the coast, you know. But what if this week we talked and communicated in a positive manner? We didn't complain about our dinner, the weather. We didn't complain about the aches and pains. I'll give you something to relate about. We didn't communicate or complain about our bank account or our spouses or how tired we are. What if we blessed and prayed and looked for a way to be encouraging? What if we prayed for somebody and blessed them instead of giving them our 2 cents? What if we said, you know, Pastor, you're right and I agree with you, but old habits are hard to break. What if we said, you know what? I'm going to break those old habits and I'm going to look for a way to be more thankful, more appreciative. I'm going to look for a way to bless and to congratulate and to support and to worship and to direct people to the cross. Instead of directing them to the complaint department, I'm going to direct them to prayer. Instead of directing them to write a petition or to march for a movement, I'm going to get them to march to the altar to move heaven and to move earth and where it makes a difference. What do you say this week? We look for a way to bless and be encouraging.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
You see, because the scripture tells us in Proverbs 18 and 20, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and that death and life are in the power of the tongue. The right word may direct somebody to salvation. Just think about that. This is exactly what happened in Acts chapter 2 with the apostle Peter. In Acts 2 and 40, the scripture says, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. The scripture says, with many other words did he testify and exhort. When was the last time that we used words to testify and exhort somebody and lead them to the cross and direct them to a place or a word of God that can help them, that can save them, that can change them, that can challenge them, that will convict them, and that will help them get to heaven?
Amen.
Point two, are your words sweet to the soul or are they fire starting? James 3 and 6 says, and the tongue is a fire. Words have caused some people to start relationships, and words have caused some people to end relationships.
Yeah.
Words have caused some people to make peace, and words have caused some people to make war. Proverbs 16 and 24 says, pleasant are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Pleasant words are sweet. We've got to understand that the words that come out of our mouth, that's live ammunition. That's words off our tongue are they can be action, because it can cause someone to go into a place of depression, or it can cause them to go into a place of rejoicing. Just try this right now. Why don't you tell somebody next to you something positive about them? Don't be scared. Tell them something. Find somebody next to you and just say, hey, tell them something positive. Right? Because if I said, hey, for $100, write 10 things down about the person next to you that you want to change or you don't like, you'd be like, I don't need $100. I do it for free. I'd be just waiting for permission to do it.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. What about a word of encouragement? Doesn't it feel good? Don't you feel that it good in your heart and in your spirit? When you're able to bless somebody,
yeah.
Do you think sometimes the words that we say has the ability to bless somebody?
Yeah.
We don't know what they're going through, what they've been through, what it took to get them to the house of God. When we see one another in the market or at the store, it shouldn't be just a wave and just carry on, but we ought to say, hey, it's good to see you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. We ought to greet one another and be happy and be proud that we get to see a brother or sister in the Lord.
Yeah.
Notice this. James 3 and 10 says, out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Are we blaming God and others for the things that have happened to us in our life because of the poor decisions that we've made? Do we grumble? Do we find ourselves with a palate for gossip? Are you involved in the whisper ministry?
Wow.
It's not a ministry you want to be a part of.
No.
You whisper about it because you don't want anyone else to hear, but he hears it all.
Yep.
That's right.
Yeah.
Proverbs 18 and 8 says, the words of a talebearer are wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. But don't we need to remember that we are ambassadors for Jesus. 1 Timothy 4 and 12 says, let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believers in word. Somebody say word. In conversation. Somebody say in conversation. So that goes in our words and our actions. See, they could tell us when we walk into Cracker Barrel. If I walk into my wife, well, that's not a good example because I know a lot of people there. But if you go into a place of business, you walk in, especially if we're walking with one of our ladies, they can see the outward manifestation of holiness.
Yeah.
But I wonder if us men, if we were sitting together having coffee somewhere, if just by listening by our conversation, could they tell if we're Christians or not? Or would they have to scratch their head and say, you know what, I think that might be the pastor, but I don't think so because the way they were talking, there's no way that guy could be a pastor. What happens in our job site? How we treat the waitress at the restaurant, the mechanic, the next door neighbor, our family members, the people in the ministry, those that we lead or manage. That's a part of holiness. Do we assassinate people's character with the words that come out of our mouth? Colossians 4 and 5 says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. I got a question for you. Everybody take a deep breath. If Jesus was copied on every text message you sent, would you still send the text message? Oh, but I got one for you. He sees all those text messages. Better check yourself. Ephesians 4 and 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 11 says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edifying one another, even as also ye do. We as Holy Ghost-filled, Bible-believing, baptized in Jesus' name people ought to be the nicest people, not the meanest people.
Right.
We need to be firm.
Right.
We need to stand up for right. We need not to be doormats, and we provide good, honest feedback with solutions. But the Bible says in Ephesians 4 and 15, speak in the truth and love. It's okay to disagree. It's okay to argue, have a difference of opinion or perspective. But the Bible says speak the truth in love. We're not competing one for another.
Amen.
Hebrews 12 and 14 or 15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. By a show of hands, coming to a close, and I'm here in a minute, how many of you have ever had somebody say something to you and it hurt? Show of hands. How many of you have had somebody say something to you and it hurt, and it was because somebody in the church said it? I'll raise hands for somebody that's too shy to raise their hand. I don't want to be honest. Right? Words hurt. But how many of you have had somebody say something to you that was positive, encouraging? It was edifying, and it blessed you, right? You needed that. You've had so much beaten up on you all week long, and somebody walks by, and they say something, and you know what they said was sincere, was genuine, and it wasn't just some kind of cliche, but they said it. Let our words be filled with encouragement and words that glorify God.
Amen.
I mentioned it earlier, but Psalm 19 and 14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. I don't want us to be known as believers that were sour.
Right.
Had the Holy Ghost but had no joy.
Right.
Was holy in lifestyle and modest in dress, but unholy in our communication. We ought not to be a people that are unthankful and have an entitlement mentality.
Amen.
Right.
Because we're entitled to nothing. We ought to be the most thankful and the most encouraging people that there are.
Amen.
Amen.
He has forgiven us of much.
Yes.
There ought to be so much thanks in this place. We ought to be so encouraging because of where God has brought us from that we could see somebody else and say, that ain't nothing. That's nothing compared to what I went through. And if God did it for me, God can do it for you. I want to be an encouragement to what the Lord has done for me for somebody else. Our words and our tongue ought to be able to be used to witness and to testify to others. Psalmist says in Psalm 107, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. As the musicians come, we ought to be able to testify and do it with joy about what God has done for us. Scripture tells us in Psalm 107 and 8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for the wonderful works to the children of men. We ought to be using our tongue and our words to praise God. Psalm 150 and 6 says, let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. That's a good way and a good reason to communicate and say, I'm going to use my voice. I'm going to use my tongue. I'm going to use my vocabulary to give God praise because I've been redeemed and because the scripture says to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Why are you raising your hands? Why are you getting excited? Because I'm praising the Lord. I'm not cursing nobody. I'm not gossiping about nobody. I'm lifting my voice unto a holy God because he saved me and I'm going to let the whole world know.
Amen.
Ephesians, have you ever talked to yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Anybody talk to yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Right? Talk in your sleep?
Yeah.
Right? Instead of being an expert on everyone else, talk to yourself. Preach to yourself. Encourage yourself. The Bible says as we stand in Ephesians 5 and 19, speaking to yourselves. There you go, Brother Brian. I got a Bible for you. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. David said, Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all time, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. James 5 and 16 says, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another. Effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We ought to be using our tongue, our vocabulary to pray for one for another, to praise, to witness one for another. Does anybody need healing? Does anybody need a fill up tonight? Does anybody need an encouraging word? Does anybody want to be blessed? Anybody need to be blessed? Anybody thankful tonight? So before we come to the altar, I want us to take the challenge and say this week, We'll just do it between now and Sunday. I'm going to look for an opportunity to bless somebody with the words of my mouth.
Yeah.
I'm going to look for someone to be an encouragement to with the words of my mouth. And anytime the devil tries to that person cuts me off, Lord, I pray you cover them so they don't get in an accident. What if we did that? Instead of chasing them down and getting up on them. Let's come to the altar and let's talk to the Lord about ourselves. Hallelujah. Let's be honest about ourselves. What our communication's been like. What's our communication been like? What habits, what trends, what manner of communication have we been talking? Who have we been talking with? Who have we been listening to? What's been feeding our heart and our spirit? Hallelujah! We ought to be using our voices tonight to pray, to praise, to encourage. He calls you son, he calls you daughter. Come on, each of us are facing things. Dealing with stuff. We got more on our plate and our table and our hearts than we know what to do and deal with. Let's talk to Jesus. Talk to him. Use your words tonight to talk to Jesus. God, help us tonight. accusations that have come from me, God, that's been hurtful, that's been inappropriate, God, that's been disrespectful, God. Lord, would you forgive us? Would you help us, God, to do better, God? If I said some things out of character, God, if I said some things without having all the facts, God, if I formed some opinions based on what somebody else said, God, that may have not been truthful, God, I pray, God, help me to do better, to be better, oh God. Tell me, God, to be more encouraging. Tell me, God. We live in a results-driven environment, but God, help me, God, to remember that people still are broken, God. They're still people, God. They're your children, God. They're not perfect. Neither am I, oh God. Help us, God, to use our words to testify. To share the gospel, God, to make disciples, to be steadfast, to be holy in all manner.